Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Tuesday, September 17th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hi, Kelly. Good morning.
I'm glad you're with me. I'm glad also with me today is Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
I am good. Wait, you didn't even ask how I'm doing. Hi, Kelly. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm really glad you're with me. I would like to talk to both of you about our first topic, which is something that we are projecting could happen. And that is once Apple has TV Plus ready to roll out and they're giving it to everybody who bought a phone this week or an iPad this week
or iPad, yeah,
or a watch, I think.
Wait, hold on. It's not anything this week. It's buying a new a new iPhone or iPad
for some amount of time that we don't know, but
correct.
But yeah, so yeah, starting this week. Yeah, with any phone or anything after they announced it, any phone and any iPad. And I thought he said watch, but I could be wrong about that.
Yes, Apple Watch and Apple iPod Touch and a Mac.
Okay, and when I remembered Mac, I wasn't sure about the watch. If you buy something from Apple with a screen, you get a year of TV Plus for free.
Or so, Apple TV Plus. Apple TV doesn't have a screen. I'm being pedantic.
Oh, that's true. Thank you, Brian. It's weird to hear you imitating John. I think, like, if you buy hardware from Apple, that you get a year free. So there's a presumption that Apple's going to use this to say TV Plus is a success because look at all these subscribers we have.
Oh, you just know it. They're going to brag and brag. They're going to put that up on the big screen. 155 million Apple TV Plus subscribers. And then there'll be a bar chart showing Netflix and Amazon and way down there in a tiny bar, 50 or 60 million.
Well, a question will be, though, how Apple manages the onboarding process. Mm-hmm. Because it'll be, I mean, those numbers would be worthless. Apple would still tout them, as John says. But those numbers would be worthless if Apple somehow magically makes that subscription to Apple TV Plus a reality just from you buying the device.
Correct.
But if there is a step two, like, you know, that would be cutting the hole in the box. And step two would be that you have to then actually sign up. Well, those are slightly more meaningful. Those are actually probably significantly more meaningful numbers.
Yes.
Even though it's free.
Right. You know, for example, like the thing that I was thinking about with this, you know, to your point, Brian, was sort of the deployment of those subscriptions, right? And one of the things that I presumed was that if this was a mobile device situation, that you would have to open the TV app and then it would go, hey, you have TV Plus, want to set it up? Or that it would be like a notification maybe from the TV app, you know, that TV Plus is available to you and all you have to do is go sign in and use it because you bought a thing and now you get a year for free and on and on.
So I disagree with Brian.
Okay.
I don't think there's going to be a payoff from making the users make affirmative action. I think the payoff is the frictionless scenario where you buy the device and then you discover to your joy that Apple TV Plus is just there and it works and it's free.
Well, I think it's going to come from through the TV app. And if I never open the TV app and I don't allow it to notify me, I'll never know, which is how I'm set up right now.
I'm not saying that Apple shouldn't do it that way, John. I'm just saying that there will be that how Apple does that.
Do we know if it's free on only that device?
No.
It's not free on all devices. Yeah.
I assume it's tied to your Apple ID.
So you buy a new iPad, you register your Apple ID, and then you go over and turn your Apple TV on, and boom, there it is. Friction free.
Maybe. I don't know.
But the qualitative difference in the total number of subscribers will be evident.
It's a non-zero
depending
number
on that process.
Yeah.
If you have to take step two, it's a more meaningful number. And if you do not have to take step two, it's essentially a meaningless number.
No, I don't think so. I disagree. Meaningful number is Apple's metrics. Apple will know how many phones and iPads and so on it's sold, and it can look and see out of the 170 million devices it sold over the last few months, they can calculate from feedback from the device how many people have actually launched Apple TV and spent any time watching it.
Right.
And from that, they'll be able to say, you know, we sold 150 million devices over a certain period of time, and 110 million of those people have actually watched Apple TV.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they won't do that.
No.
Sure they will.
No. They'll do that internally, but they won't do that publicly. Publicly, it'll be total number of subscribers. Mm-hmm. And that's the number I'm saying will have a qualitative difference depending on the method of onboarding.
Well, the total number of subscribers are the people who actually activate TV Plus and watch something, because just because you bought the device doesn't mean people know it's there or even used it. So bragging about the fact that it's on the device, but people haven't even launched it or touched it or seen it, is not so much to brag about.
And that's why I think it's going to be interesting to see. That's why I think it's going to be interesting what number they use. There are 150, to use your numbers, John, there are 150 million Apple TV Plus subscriptions is very different from there are 110 million TV Plus watchers, viewers, whatever. Those are different numbers. So I'm going to be very interested in what word they use to quantify whatever the number is that they do let out in public. That's the thing I want to know.
The third party network or, you know, industry of watchers and analytic evaluation firms, and especially when it comes to the TV streaming services, will be wanting to differentiate between paid subscribers and free subscribers.
Of course.
And I can't imagine that Apple is going to willingly let that number out unless it is something, you know, mind boggling, and probably not even then. Mm-hmm. And plus, that number would be so small. You got to figure that the people who are willing to try Apple TV Plus immediately are disproportionately represented. Like, there's a Venn diagram of like people who are willing to just try Apple TV Plus right now and people who are going to buy a new device this in the next year.
Right.
Right. There's a lot of overlap in that particular Venn diagram.
Mm-hmm. It's almost one circle.
Yeah. So Apple may not even have any paying subscribers initially. And if Apple does, if this is like a thing from now on, Apple may never have that many paying subscribers.
You know, that's true.
That's what I was writing a note to myself on that. The distribution between free users and pay users is going to be interesting. Like you said, the free users are going to go look out of curiosity and maybe they'll continue watching and they won't care how extensive the content is. Mm-hmm. The paid users are going to compare what money they're spending compared to what they get from, say, Disney Plus. And they're going to be annoyed, or they'll go into it saying, no, I'm not going to pay $4.99 a month because I'm going to only get a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of what I can get for Disney for $6.99 or plus a month. So the paid users will probably be a lot smaller, as you said, Brian, than the freebie users. And they'll be making their decision based on different metrics.
And it's $60 a year. Quite frankly, Apple selling another device in lieu of getting $60 a year is a huge win for Apple. Mm-hmm. Right? It won't be that bad a thing if Apple doesn't have a ton of, like, if like from now on, when you buy a new Apple device, you get a free year of Apple TV Plus, and then so no one's ever paying for it. That's fine if people are buying new devices to get it.
They would have bought the device anyway because maybe say they needed one. But the question is the incremental revenue. Is Apple TV Plus enough to incite Android users to come over and buy a phone instead because they know they're going to get something cool?
Or is it enough, though, John, to get the iPhone owner to buy a new iPad, or the Mac owner to buy a new iPad or a new iPhone, etc.
Right. I tend to think in terms of incremental revenue, and incremental revenue is more hardware that sells more services.
Well, here's what just occurred to me. When you, it feels to me a little bit like, and I'm formulating this right now, so I apologize if it doesn't come out quite like it needs to. Apple is sort of playing Amazon's game in that if you buy hardware from us, we're going to just throw in the video for free. Like, there are people who are Amazon Prime customers who just get Prime Video. Like, I'm one of those people. I don't subscribe. Like, my house doesn't subscribe to Amazon Prime for the video. We subscribe to Amazon Prime for other stuff. And also, oh, hey, we get this video benefit. And it feels like instead of making TV Plus its own service, they're making it like, if you buy a phone, we're going to essentially give you this content for the next year. We're going to give you, you know, on your iPad, we're going to give you something to watch on your Mac and your Apple TV, whatever. So I wonder if this is almost, I mean, we'll find out next December when we see how high the cliff is that subscriber numbers drop off of. But I almost wonder if that's how they're approaching this, at least to begin with.
Maybe that's why they don't care
to get the attention.
Maybe that's for the why they don't care about acquiring extra studio content over and above their own original content, because they know that the buyer getting it free on the iPhone or iPad, for example, doesn't really care about the richness of the library. They just know they're getting some free content that's pretty good.
You know, that is an excellent point. Should we save that for section two?
I think we should.
Okay. I hopefully remember what I was going to say.
I hope you do. Hold on to it for the next minute, and I think we'll be okay. Right now, before we get to Brian's point, which I hope he remembers, I'd like to talk to all of you about our sponsor today. Our sponsor is OmniFocus from Omni Group. OmniFocus is a professional to-do list manager that helps you accomplish more every day, just like its tagline says. OmniFocus is available on macOS. It's a universal iOS app, so it's going to look awesome on your new phone or your new iPad right next to your year of Apple TV Plus for free. It's got an Apple Watch complication to view, so you can view, add, and complete tasks right there on your wrist. If you're a person with a work PC, you can also accomplish all of that through OmniFocus Web, which is new just this summer. And if you want to be a GTD person, or you are a GTD person, this makes an awesome trusted system. You can enter those tasks from anywhere, and you can upgrade to the pro version and get even further customization for viewing tasks in perspectives or forecasts. You get Apple scripting functionality and lots, lots more. You can download a free 2-week trial from Omni Group at omnifocus.com. And we'd like to thank them for sponsoring the show today. Now, Brian, you wanted to talk a little bit about the point that you wanted to make right before we made it to the second part of the show. And here we are in the second part of the show.
Yeah, I think I can do this. So something that John said is what I'm triggering this off. And yes, John, you can just go ahead and preemptively accept my apology if you'd like. so I've long been like let's go back to Apple wanting to create that a la carte TV service.
Okay.
Right? You're going back years now. Years and years and years and years. Well, Steve Jobs was still alive.
Because Steve said it, right?
Well, Steve said that they cracked the code on the television interface.
I'm still waiting.
I'm still waiting on that too. But we knew that Apple was working on this a la carte, some kind of like, you know, create your own streaming service, really kind of before streaming services were really a thing. And we know that the television and movie industry resisted them hardcore, right? Are you guys with me here?
Oh, yep. Yes.
So cut to Netflix going into the original content business. So now, again, we're going back several years. Mm-hmm. And suddenly Netflix goes from being the place where you can get all this old stuff to this place where you're getting all this great original content. Like House of Cards is really, I think, what really started that, and or at least, you know, propelled it to that new that new level. And of course, now today we sort of kind of take all that for granted, as all of these streaming services have their own original content. But I have long been wondering, like, if Apple is going to do this streaming content business, don't they also need this catalog of external content like Netflix does, like Hulu does, mm-hmm. like Disney Plus does not? Right? So cut to Apple essentially making this free for its most dedicated customer, again, assuming that this is a perpetual thing and not just the first year. Mm-hmm. Right? Is it that Apple isn't concerned about having this library, this extensive library of third-party content, because it is just something incremental, something special for Apple people, something to keep you in that ecosystem, and not something that Apple is looking to build, you know, another $40 billion a year, $30 billion a year business off of? Mm-hmm.
I agree, especially since I thought of it.
Yeah. Well, did I not add anything to that, John?
You clarified it beautifully.
And that's a rather interesting thought. And I think it also essentially means that whole we want to reshape, you know, how users are getting their television. Mm-hmm. We want to replace cable. I think that vision, I think they finally gave up on that. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty clear at this point.
I think it's evolved.
What you described, Brian, is the solving of the puzzle. The puzzle is the calculus of success of these streaming services, who are going to be the winners and who are going to be the also-rans, the ones that try to merge or the ones that go away. And the calculus of success is a big puzzle. It involves exactly what you described, the motivation of the customer, the content that's provided, how much of it is new and how much of it is old, whether the demographics of the past have proved that what they're offering is going to be successful. It may be why, who was it who just spent $1 billion on Seinfeld? We were talking about it earlier.
HBO Max today. HBO. $1 billion for Seinfeld for $1 billion for Big Bang Theory was HBO.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, that was HBO. But then somebody else paid. Netflix paid for Seinfeld, I think.
Netflix paid for Seinfeld.
Another bonkers amount of money, yes.
It sounds like a lot of money, but I think it's derived from the fact that somebody's building simulations or at least spreadsheets and calculating viewership and demand and popularity and ratings, mm-hmm. and looking at what the payoff of the portfolio is and how to build a portfolio that has a winning content and matching it with the proper price, delivering it in the magic way and solving the puzzle of how to weasel your way into the first or second or third place in these streaming services.
And I don't really think, okay, first, two things. There are five shows that are sort of like the kinds of shows that people just want to be able to watch. There's Friends. I think it's the king of shows.
I think so.
There is Seinfeld, although I personally find, I love Seinfeld when it was new. I find it a little less rewatchable, certainly, than Friends.
Yes.
There's The Office.
The Office.
There's The Big Bang Theory. I'd probably call that number two. And then, of course, Gilligan's Island.
You know.
I'm just kidding about Gilligan's Island. There's four shows that I can think of.
And they throw in The Adventures of Dobie Gillis, of course.
They've all been, wow. Ask your great-grandparents, folks.
Wow. I really thought we were going to go Rockford Files here, Brian. We talked about this before the show.
Rockford Files. But, you know, the Rockford Files is still, that's the funny thing about that show. It's the only cop show from the 70s that's still watchable.
Yep.
All right. So anyway, four shows, all of which have been locked up in exclusives.
Mm-hmm. For ages.
Just brand new deals.
No, I mean, they haven't. But the deals are like long term, and we're finding out about them because it's such a big deal, even though it doesn't happen until 2021.
Yeah, that's so,
Now, these are subjective decisions. I mean, I'm sure it's based on the popularity of these shows, and they're in the top five list, like Brian just described. But, you know, the vicissitudes of the buying public could change. Culture changes happen, and people could decide that by the time this airs, Seinfeld or Big Bang Theory is old news and old stuff, and they moved on to something new. It's a gamble.
Yeah, but
it is a gamble.
That doesn't change anything about the show, though.
Low risk gamble for those four shows.
Oh yeah,
people love rewatching.
Well, that's what the
nobody cares about Chandler's floppy haircut and the number of pleats in his pants. They're still going to watch the snot out of that program.
That's what the people who are constructing these portfolios are betting on, and Apple could be wrong in some cases.
Apple could have bought The Big Bang Theory.
Mm-hmm.
Apple could have bought Friends, etc. And Apple has not. As a matter of fact, we don't know of any non-original content deals for Apple. So Apple appears like so. It's like Apple and so far Disney Plus, right?
Yeah.
Disney Plus that are not seeming to be banking on any kind of marquee cornerstone anchor legacy content.
I would disagree with you there because Disney is hanging its entire hat on that content.
Third
like
party.
It's nice they're going to give me a new Star Wars show, but
third party.
Not third party. Okay, yes, I'll give you that.
Well, it's only by virtue of the fact that Disney has acquired Lucasfilms. It used to be third party, now it's theirs.
Yeah,
but they're not buying stuff from anybody else. But they were a content company before they got into streaming, and Apple was not. So those are, I would say, those are different approaches. But there's one thing I do want to ask you about, like John. One thing that you said earlier was about winning, and then you mentioned like the people that are putting together these portfolios and what they're betting on. And it used to be that television came in units of programs. There was a show. You could watch The Rockford Files. You could watch Dobie Gillis. You could watch Leave It to Beaver. You could watch Murder, She Wrote. You could watch The Golden Girls, whatever it was. And that show Mavericks. Had ratings.
I want to watch Mavericks. I want to see Mavericks from start to finish.
That show had ratings.
It was Bart and Brent.
And it was that's how the success of a show is measured. And if a network has a number of these shows and puts them all on Thursday night, for example, then maybe that network can be considered successful because it has a number of successful shows. But Netflix isn't really releasing ratings. HBO isn't telling us how many people are watching Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo every month when they've got it available.
They do release ratings in a way because when they cancel a show, it's because it wasn't highly rated like Travelers.
Well, they say that, but we don't know what those numbers actually looked like because nobody ever releases any sort of ratings for these programs unless it turns out to be something truly abnormal or truly spectacular that they can celebrate. And so my question is, I feel like part of why Apple feels comfortable getting into this is because everything for streaming is measured in numbers of subscribers and not in numbers of not in ratings. We don't know that 50 million people watched Stranger Things season 3 or whatever. Like, we don't know that.
And I don't even think Apple is going to necessarily care about being, John, you had mentioned the, you know, like competition for being in the top 3 streaming services.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think Apple is going to care all that much about that, especially if you've got this huge percentage of users who are free.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the idea is to sell hardware in a way that I did not like when Apple started talking about doubling services revenues to $50 billion a year and kept emphasizing services and look, services is growing. And don't pay attention to iPhone. Look at services, man. That's freaking awesome. These services that we're doing. When Apple started shifting to that emphasis over the last year, it never would have occurred to me that Apple would have looked at Apple TV Plus, this business that it was investing billions in, and were content for it to be free and to be that loss leader for selling new devices. But that appears to be where we're headed.
Mm-hmm. So what I want to know from both of you is, do you think that subscribers, like when John talks about who wins, who's the top three, do you think that's in subscriber numbers? Because we're not really looking at like ratings for stuff anymore when it comes to streaming.
No, it'll be profit. Aside from Apple, it'll be profitability.
Aside from Apple, yeah, that's a very good distinction. And I think Apple would be happy to brag that it has one of the top three services. But mm-hmm. at the same
on
time,
terms.
Yeah, on terms and on definitions, that's for sure.
Right. Yeah.
I also don't, I don't think it's going to be a problem if it's not.
Oh, not for Apple.
Simply because Apple seems content to have it be this loss leader.
Yeah.
And what you're going to see, I think, in the future is that as the horse race settles out and we got the clear 1-2-3 winners in terms of profitability and desirability of content and some revenue and so on, that some of the also-rans, the guys who got started up recently, or some of the low-hanging fruit, or those that are not successful in creating desirable content as the other guys, are going to look to merge. Mm-hmm. And leverage off of the content that somebody else has, and aggregate themselves to try to create a richer portfolio, see if they can make money that way. Yeah. So we haven't seen any discussion of mergers, but I bet it's coming.
Will 2023's cable company be the company that is delivering you all of the streaming services? What do we get? Peacock, CBS, All Access, HBO Max, Disney Plus, Hulu, Netflix, Apple TV Plus, and whatever the heck, I guess all the Marvel stuff is in Disney Plus. But it's, I mean, Disney, like, Plus.
Prime,
like,
Video. That would be
kind of sort of funny if that's what, like, we start getting that's the new cable.
Yeah.
That's the new cable, but the cable company itself, the satellite delivery and the coaxial cable delivery through cable companies, is going to go away, and they know they're going to die on the vine, and they have reasons to switch over.
Yeah, I want content from almost all of those companies, if not all the companies I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want 10 streaming services.
Comcast owns NBC Universal, and their I'm sure their business model is to deliver content over the NBC app, as opposed to
even with a new Peacock service.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you don't have to deliver people DVRs. You can get a better metric on what they're watching. You don't have to have home servicing and customer support issues.
I agree, John. Peacock is a great name for that service.
We were having this discussion before the show started in the pre-show about whether Peacock was a good name.
It's a great name.
Bite my tongue.
Instant branding.
I know that. But yeah, there are. Yeah. Anyway, we will talk about it another time.
Possible negative connotations, Kelly, as you said. But the power,
I didn't say it was
NBC
negative. I just said
NBC
it was
Universal.
A connotation. That's all I said. I did not say if it was positive or negative. I just said it was one, and that's all we.
Remember when the iPad came out? There were some jokes made about the use of the term pad.
Yeah,
but Apple's power branding and the success of the product overcame that, and now people don't even blink when they talk about having an iPad. So yeah. Same thing will happen with Peacock.
I don't know. Honestly, I feel like
Kelly's stunned. Folks, ladies and gentlemen, Kelly's at a loss for words.
No, it's because I've been trying to get you guys to wrap up for a while now, and you keep not listening to me. My problem with it is that if they're handling it as well as they handle the streaming that they already have in the app that they have, they will lose because their app is not great. If you have thoughts about this, about the streaming services, about subscription fatigue, about what you think Apple's going to do with their subscriber numbers, we would like to hear from you. You can get to us by emailing observations@macobserver.com. You can talk to us at TMO Daily on Twitter. And my favorite way, you can leave comments in the show notes, and then everyone can talk to each other. I want to thank both of you for being here today to talk to me about TV Plus and media. John, thanks so much for coming by today.
Yeah, cool. That was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
Super duper fun. And part of why it was fun was because we were here with Brian Chaffin. Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having us. Good times.
It was good times. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.